Well, hello, my friends, and welcome to Hope for Your Heart. This is Pastor Calvin Corbett welcoming you to the new broadcast week and also a brand new year. Well, I don't know about you, but I am so ready for 2021. I am so excited about what God is going to do in this new year and the opportunity for new beginnings and new things taking place. We are looking forward to a great new year. Well, I thought I'd start the new year with a really bad dad joke, okay? A carryover from last year, okay? A woman was weed whacking in her yard and she accidentally cut off the tail of her cat who was hiding in the grass. She rushed to her cat and picked up the cat and picked up the tail and headed out to Walmart. Why Walmart? Hello? Walmart is the largest retailer in the world. Well, I hope that gets you in a good mood as we begin this new year. And I know many of you are probably heading back to work today as you've been off maybe for the Christmas holiday, celebrating the birth of Christ, looking forward to a new year. And so I want to talk to you today and throughout the rest of this week on this subject of gifts that God has for us. Now, as we think about this time of the year, I love Romans 15. Romans 15, verse 13 is a verse that we memorized last year at our church, and it was a reminder of the fact that God fills us with hope, and when we have hope, we also have joy and peace as we trust in Him, and because of that, we can actually overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to encourage you today as we begin this new year that God has good things in store for you. Trust Him. Trust Him to do something so big in your life this year that it's going to be a failure if God doesn't step in. So I want to give you a challenge this new year. We're only in the second day of the new year, and so here is my challenge to you. Will you take the time and read 5 Psalms a day, and along with those 5 Psalms every day, would you read a proverb every day throughout this year? Now, to help you with this, there's an app that I want to encourage you to download, put it on your phone, and it'll keep you on track. And it's called the 5 Psalms. Now, if you Google in this app, you'll be able to find it. It's a free app, and you'll be able to recognize it because it is an app that has for its logo a hand, a blue hand, and across the front of that hand is in Hebrew the word Psalms. So as you download this free app, every day it's going to keep you on track. Now, instead of reading Psalm 1 and then going to Psalm 2 and Psalm 3, you're going to read Psalm 1, Psalm 30, Psalm 60, Psalm 90, Psalm 120, Psalm 150. So those are the first 5 Psalms that you're going to do on the first day. And then you go to the second day, and that would be January 2nd. And as you go on that day, you're going to be reading Psalm 2, Psalm 32, and Psalm 64, and going on 30 chapters later. Now, this app will keep you on track. No matter when you open up this app, whatever date it is, it will take you to that date. Let's say it's January 15th. You click on that app, it's going to take you to Psalm 15, automatically adding those 30 chapters. So every month, if you read those 5 chapters of Psalm every day, every month, you're going to complete the book of Psalms. Now, in the book of Proverbs, what I'm asking you to do is every day begin with Proverb 1. Whatever the date is, if it's January 15th, you're going to be reading Proverbs 15. Now, to help you on this journey, all right, I have a gift for you. Now, I'm not going to offer this gift very long through the broadcast. Maybe this first week of January is all I'm going to offer it to you, but I love reading what Tim Keller has written. Now, if you are looking for somebody who really will take you deep in God's Word and is very relevant to the culture that we're living in today, I highly recommend Timothy Keller. I will send to you a free devotional that goes with the book of Proverbs, okay? It's called God's Wisdom for Navigating Life. God's Wisdom for Navigating Life by Timothy Keller and his wife, Kathy. And this is a devotional, 365-day devotional that I will send to you free. All you got to do is call me, 757-421-7500. That's 757-421-7500. And leave with the receptionist your name and your address, and I'll make sure that we get this mailed out to you. If there's nobody answering the phone, if you call after hours, just leave your name and your address on the voicemail, and I'll get that, and I'll make sure you get a copy of this book. And it'll be my gift to you this year as I encourage you to read 5 Psalms a day and 1 proverb a day and read this devotional book, and I promise you, it'll make a big difference in your life. Now, you need to read the book of Psalms because that's where you find all the comfort that you need as we're living in these crazy days. And the book of Psalms is actually the songs of Jesus. Jesus quotes this book of Psalms numerous times, as do other Bible authors. And so you need the book of Psalms so you have some comfort. The book of Proverbs, on the other hand, will give you the opportunity to see God's wisdom. Now, the book of Proverbs is not really a book of promises, but rather they are a bunch of pithy sayings that you should ponder. And they often do a contrast. And so the book of Proverbs is called the wisdom literature. It's one of the wisdom books in the Bible, along with the book of James and the Song of Solomon and the book of Ecclesiastes. These are called wisdom literature. These are books that Jesus often referred to, that Jesus would quote. And these are books that are given to us so that we know how to live the Christian life. So please take advantage of this offer for this free devotional book. And that helps me to know who is listening. And of course, if you'd like to support the broadcast, we are always looking for people that are willing to support the broadcast. You can write a check to the Hickory Ridge Community Church, just HRCC7. And you can drop that in the mail to us at 3320 Battlefield Boulevard South in Chesapeake, Virginia. And we'll be happy to receive that. We thank you so much for supporting the broadcast. And many of you have been listening. We are now going into our second year of the broadcast. So thank you so much for your support. And we appreciate all that you're doing. You are such a blessing to us. And I hope that we are an encouragement to you. Our goal is to provide hope for your heart. You know, if your heart gets discouraged, you're in a world of trouble. So we are hoping and praying that we can provide some hope for you. Well, today I want to look at this subject of how can we have joy? And I want to share some things I think that will help you to have joy. And maybe this start of the new year, and it's not, you don't feel the joy. You're just not feeling it, right? You say, man, there's so much confusion. We still have the coronavirus. We still have a lot of restrictions on us. There's still a lot of tension within our nation. It seems like there's still this battle for the soul of our country. And so I want to encourage you today, as you look at where we are as a nation, there are so many opportunities for us to get discouraged, but there are also more opportunities as followers of Christ to be totally filled with joy. And so I want to look at the life of the shepherds, kind of going back to the Christmas story. In Luke chapter 2, we see that the shepherds had joy. Now, the angels appeared, one angel first, and then a host of angels appeared to the shepherds. They are watching their flocks by night. They're focused. There's something about people that are focused. They have a higher level of joy. Henry Ford once said, "We have a weakness as human beings. And that weakness is we try to do too many things all at once. So this scatters the effort." One thing I noticed about the shepherds as they were keeping watch of their sheep on the fields at night is that they were focused. They were doing one thing, and they were doing it very well. They were keeping up with their sheep. You know, Paul put it this way. He gives us this strong encouragement in Colossians chapter 2. He says, "Set your mind on the things that are above, not the things that are on the earth." Listen, if you're focused on the things of this earth, you are going to lose your joy. You're going to lose your joy in a New York minute, right? It will depart from you quickly. But if you are focused on the things above, heavenly things, then you're going to discover that your joy remains full and actually overflowing. Now, as you're focusing on things above, your mind is focused on the heavenly things. I remember years ago, they used to say, "Well, I know some people that are so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good." I don't think we have too many people that have that problem today. As a matter of fact, I think that we have just the opposite problem. I think our problem is that we're so earthly minded that we're of no heavenly good. It was John Milton who said, "The mind is its own place and in itself can make a heaven out of hell or a hell out of heaven." You see, the choice is ours. How we choose to think is how we will have joy. If we tend to think on things that are negative, we will constantly be filled with despair. But if we can think on things that are heavenly, then we will discover that we are overflowing with joy. So be focused on heaven. Secondly, if you want to have joy, as we go back to the story of the shepherds, we see that the shepherds were also terribly surprised. In Luke chapter 2, it says that the angel appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shown round about them, and they were terrified. Now we see something very special happening here. Obviously, when the angel shows up, they were terrified, and so the angel says, "Don't be afraid, I bring you good news." So they go from being terrified to being surprised. They are surprised by the appearance of an angel, surprised by the message of the angels, and perhaps the biggest surprise in this message is that it was given to them, the shepherds, mere shepherds, right? They were the lowlife on the hills of Galilee. They were the minimum wage workers. They're the ones that were despised. They were the ones that were rejected. You know, nobody would begin their life and saying, "Well, my goal in life is to be a shepherd." Not in that day and age. It's kind of like saying, "Well, my goal in life is to be incarcerated." I know sometimes that happens, but none of us intends for that to happen. You know, as you think about this being surprised, the Bible tells us that perfect love casts out fear. Maybe you're filled with fear today with this coronavirus and you're afraid that you're going to get it or somebody that you know is going to get it. I want to encourage you. Perfect love casts out fear. The God of the universe loves you completely, loves you perfectly. You know, when you think about fear, the reason that the shepherds were terribly fearful and that fear turned into surprise is they thought when that angel was coming, it was judgment time. You know, the angels were always bringing bad news in their opinion, and they looked at their lives as, "Uh-oh, we are in trouble." But you know, fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. So I want to encourage you today, be surprised at what God is going to do. Look for God to do the unexpected in your life. Live on that level of attempting something so grand for God, so great for God, that it's actually doomed for failure unless he intervenes. What is the third reason I believe that the shepherds were filled with joy? Not only were they extremely focused in keeping watch over their sheep by night, not only were they surprised that the God of the universe would reveal himself to them and they would go and have this opportunity to see this Christ child being born, but number three, they were sincerely interested. They wanted to hear the message of God. You know, I'm a people watcher, and I've told you that before, and when I give a sermon, sometimes I look at the audience, and that's why it's a little more difficult giving a sermon over the radio, because I can't see the expression on your face. I can't see if you're connecting with me or not, but when we have a live audience, I can kind of look at the audience, and I can look over to see the guy that's falling asleep on me, and I can look over here to the other side and see somebody who is just like totally checked out. They're not paying attention at all to the message. They're focused on their phone or they're focused on something else, daydreaming. But then I see some people that are intense, right? They are sincerely interested in the message. I mean, they're actually taking notes and they're filling in the blanks, and so they're connected well. I think about the shepherds. We read in Luke chapter 2:15, it says, "When the angels had left them and gone back up into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.'" In other words, they were so enamored, taken in by the message of the angels, they said, "We're going to go check this thing out. We are marching off to Bethlehem, and we're going to see this thing that has happened, the birth of the baby." You know, you think about our brain. We don't have a very big brain in comparison to the rest of our body. The brain is about the size of a softball. Your brain only weighs about 3 pounds, but you know, every second of every minute, of every hour, of every day, for the rest of your life, you have the capacity to learn. It's an unlimited capacity to learn. Leonardo da Vinci once observed that the average human looks without seeing, listens without hearing, touches without feeling, eats without tasting, inhales without awareness of odor or fragrance, and talks without thinking. But Da Vinci decided that he was going to be a different type of person. So he trained himself in curiosity. He spent a lot of time thinking about what could be. As a matter of fact, he had a lot of ingenious ideas, like a helicopter-like contraption that he painted one day. And he called it an anorthoter. And as you look at what he was doing with this, he was having the early understanding of what a helicopter would look like. He also designed a suit, a robotic night suit, And on his deathbed, his creativity didn't stop. On his deathbed, he noted his symptoms in a journal, and he wrote everything that was going on in his body, every feeling that he was having, every pain that he was having, all the symptoms that he was having, wrote it down on a journal. As a matter of fact, the journal of his entire life is over 7,000 pages. They've been preserved. Bill Gates, 20 years ago, bought just 18 pages of that journal for $30 million. You see, the shepherds had that level of curiosity. They were ones that were simple people, but they were really curious about what God is doing. Can I encourage you today? I know we are curious. You know that old expression, curiosity kills the cat? I think many times we're curious about the wrong things. We're worried about what this person is doing, what that person is doing. We're worried about how many likes we have on our social media account. We're worried about how people respond to us and how they respond to the posts that we make. I want to encourage you to be curious about what God is doing. Where is God moving? Are you in awe at the power of God? Are you in awe in the fact that no matter how difficult life gets, our God is still on the throne? He is still in control? It blows my mind. Over 7 billion people on the planet today, and God has chosen to reveal himself to us. Now that blows my mind. Why would God reveal himself to me? I sometimes ponder that and say, what in the world was God thinking when he reached out to me through the Spirit of God and drew me into this relationship with him? Why did he choose me? Why did he reveal that to me? It just blows my mind that the God of the universe wants anything at all to do with me. And I think about his beautiful creation and all that he has created for us to enjoy, and he gives us all things to enjoy. And I think about the mystery of how he created us. As I am recording this broadcast, one of our members is going through a heart transplant. And it's kind of miraculous how that has happened. Just over a year ago, we were praying for him. He had a massive heart attack, and his heart was only operating about 30%. And we've been praying for him over the last year that somehow, some way, that there'd be a match for him and that somebody would donate a heart. You know, the sad thing about this is that the person who donated a heart gave their life through a tragic event. And that heart is now bringing life to this church member. As I was driving here to prepare this broadcast, I was getting text messages, and the new heart has been put into his body. They took out the old heart, took a little break, and then put the new heart in, and they sewed everything together, and he was on a machine that was pumping his heart, and they removed the machine, and you know, that heart is beating on its own. And hopefully with time, that his body won't reject this heart, and that he will have a whole new lease on life because somebody gave a heart so he could have life. You know, I think about that, and I was writing to the wife of this man and texting back and forth with her, and I says, you know, that's kind of what Jesus did for us. He gave up his life so that we could have everlasting life. He was separated from his Father so that we would never have to be separated from him. His heart was broken and crushed for us so that our hearts could be mended and we could never be totally broken off from the love of God. What a mighty Savior we serve. Well, the shepherds, as we continue our story with them, not only were they extremely focused, and not only were they surprised and sincerely interested, but number four, we discover that they were genuinely convinced. Luke 2:16 says, so they hurried off and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. They were going and they were going to worship the baby, baby Jesus. And they hurry off. Why did they go and hurry off? Because they were convinced. They knew what the angels had said was true. You know, the angels had a convincing message, but the shepherds had to make a choice. They had to make a decision. You know, the message of the gospel is the most powerful message on the planet. As a matter of fact, Paul put it this way. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also unto the Greek. In other words, that dunamis power like dynamite is the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Many people hear it, but not all are genuinely convinced. Do you remember that Christmas-hating Ebenezer Scrooge? He is visited by his deceased business partner, Marley, who bears him a warning. Marley says, "I wear the chain that I forged in life. I made it link by link and yard by yard. I girded it on my own free will, and on my own free will, I wore it," he says, informing Scrooge that his punishment is going to be even worse. Scrooge was then visited with three spirits, the spirit of the past, the present, and the future death, if he continued in his selfish and cantankerous ways. You see, the shepherds were convinced they needed to make some changes, and so they moved into action. You know, Abraham was kind of the same way. Abraham, against all hope, believed and became the father of many nations, Romans 4:18 reminds us. Abraham looked at his life. He says, "God has given me this promise that I'm going to have a child of my old age. Both me and my wife are beyond childbearing ages, but we are going to believe." They are trusting God, even in the midst of the fact that it doesn't seem humanly possible. You know, that's where joy comes from. Trusting God to do something that is humanly impossible. We learn in the story of Abraham that it was credited to him for righteousness. Oh, my friends, as you listen today, I so want you to understand that God has revealed himself to us, but we must be genuinely convinced that he has made a change in our lives, and we must move on that. I know it's so easy to get discouraged. Every time I get discouraged, it's because my eyes and my heart and my mind is focused in the wrong area. I'm taking him off Jesus, and I'm looking at the storms of life, kind of like Peter. Remember, Peter walked on the water, and he got out of that boat, and he kept his eyes on Christ, and he's walking on water, and all of a sudden, he looks, and he sees the storm, takes his eyes off Jesus, and looks at the storm. Immediately, he begins to fall. Now, listen, we can't control the storms around us, but we can control the storm that's in us. I want to encourage you to keep your eyes on Christ. Well, there's a fifth thing that we see about these shepherds that is amazing to me. We see that they were very focused. They were very interested, very surprised, genuinely convinced, but they were also radically evangelized. Luke 2:17 says, "When they had seen him," referring to the baby Jesus, "they were never the same." It says that they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. You see, they were genuinely converted, and because of that, they were radically evangelized. They could not help but tell everybody what was happening in their lives. You see, that's what salvation does to you. When you are genuinely born again, you are not afraid to tell people about it. You know, I love telling people about places I like to eat. Every time I go to a good restaurant and I have a good experience, I'm not afraid to say, "Hey, you know what? I want to recommend this restaurant to you. You got a special occasion coming up, maybe your wedding anniversary, or maybe a birthday celebration, or maybe just a celebration of life and just enjoying life together. I'll tell you some good restaurants to eat at. I'm not afraid to tell you about them, okay?" Why is that? Because I had a good experience there, and it was a radically impactful event. Salvation is even more so. You think about your life before Christ. You were dead in your trespasses and sin. You were on a slippery slope headed right down to the highway of hell. And all of a sudden, Jesus steps in, and your life is changed. And because of that change, you should be telling everybody else about that change that has taken place in your life. Well, there's one final reason I believe that the shepherds were so filled with joy. They worshiped. They rightfully worshiped God. Luke 2:20 says this, "The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." You know, the book by C.S. Lewis called The Great Divorce has one of his characters observe this. "There have been men before now who got so interested in proving the existence of God that they came to care nothing for God himself. There have been some who have been so preoccupied in spreading Christianity that they never gave a thought to Christ." Oh, I want to encourage you today. Be able to give a defense of the hope that lies within you. Be able to know how to share the gospel. But don't stop worshiping. Worship the God in spirit and in truth. That's what's going to set you free. Constantly worshiping, constantly praising God for what He has done. Giving thanks and gratitude to Him for the many blessings He has brought into your life. When I think about this new year, I remind you that Jesus is our prophet, our priest, and our king. Jesus brings about salvation. Christ is the anointed one. Our Lord is the master or the owner of our lives. He is the one that will keep us together during this new year. Well, thank you for listening today. I look forward to talking to you tomorrow. God bless you and Happy New Year.
Hickory Ridge Community Church is located at 3220 South Battlefield Boulevard, Chesapeake, Virginia. Sunday service times are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. We would love for you to join us. For more information, you go to our website at www.hrcc7.org. No matter what you're going through, remember, in Jesus Christ, there is always hope for your heart.